This is Jim Inkster coming today on the show. We will visit with Foster Campbell, the Public Service Commissioner, and talk with him about the government shutdown as well as many other things, including the removal of John Berry from the Flood Protection Authority in Eastern New Orleans, the author of The Rising Tide, one of the celebrated books of the 20th century, was unceremoniously dismissed after he backed a lawsuit against the oil and gas industry. We'll talk with Foster Campbell. Also on the show, Bruce Murphy, the president of Nicholls State University. He's a colonel, his wife is a colonel, in Nicholls State. The nickname, the Colonels, appropriately. We'll talk with him. He was chosen after a national search that was wide open. Now the news. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. And in just a bit, we will hear from Foster Campbell, the Public Service Commissioner, who, of course, is always topical, and this is a time that is of interest on the local and national front. We start with Dr. Bruce Murphy. He was unanimously named the fifth president of Nicholls State University a few days ago. And he comes to Nicholls after being vice president for academic affairs at Air University in Alabama. He'll officially take the helm in Thibodaux in mid-January. He is an Army colonel, so is his wife Jean, and they are leading the colonels of Nicholls State. And as far as his academic credentials, they rank with any leader of a university in America. Bachelor of Arts, University of California, Berkeley, Master's of Business Administration, and Master of Science from University of Southern California, Master of Arts from Columbia University, and a doctorate in education from Vanderbilt. Good morning, Dr. Bruce Murphy.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
Well, Bruce Murphy, why did you decide to pursue this course?
Well, you know, when you get into the higher education realm, you continue to look for positions where you can serve. And after being at the vice president level for a number of years, I started asking some people if they thought I was ready for the next level, and they unanimously said yes and said they would help me. And so I started looking around, and when this opportunity came up, it seemed to fit perfectly. I have a lot of experience with the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools, and Nicholls is a SACS institution. I have a lot of experience with the American Association of State Colleges and Universities, and Nicholls is in that category as well. And then being in the South now for a number of years, Jean and I felt comfortable with this area. Plus, during Katrina, she, as a retired Army nurse, a retired Army colonel, spent some time working along the Mississippi Gulf Coast during Katrina, working with care for the caregivers kind of activities, and she got an affinity for this region. And so it was very attractive to us for all those reasons, and that's what kind of drove us to Nicholls. But I have to say that once we stepped on campus, that sort of reaffirmed our decision. The people, the staff, the faculty, the students, everybody here has just been so positive and so welcoming that we knew that we had made the right decision in looking for an opportunity here at Nicholls.
Nicholls State University was founded in 1948, has 7,000 students, 50 miles from New Orleans and 60 miles from Baton Rouge. And Dr. Bruce Murphy is the fifth president of Nicholls State University. It was a wide-open search. It was known to the public who the candidates were. You put your name out there not knowing you would be selected. Was that in any way an impediment? Did you have any issues with doing that?
Well, I think it's both-sided. The openness of the search in one sense, as you sort of alluded to, is a little intimidating because your whole life is out there and people that you that you don't know are going to be looking you over are looking you over. The other side of that is it's very validating to know that was open to the public, and I got to look at, for example, the town hall meetings and see what the people on campus were thinking, what students and faculty and staff were desiring in a president. And had they said, we want something that's totally different from my background, I probably would not have applied or continued my candidacy. But by having it be open, all all along the way. I think that was helpful. So there's a certain amount of intimidation that comes along with having everything wide open. But at the same time, I think openness gives everybody a fair shot, and I think it helps the process in the long run.
297-5633, your number outside the area. 877-217-5757. You may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Dr. Bruce Murphy is with us. He is a colonel, his wife is a colonel, and the UL system board member Jimmy Martin said, "We got the colonels for the colonels." There is a certain irony to this.
there is, and that was not totally intentional, but that is our background. By way of clarification, Gene is a full colonel, and I am a retired lieutenant colonel. So, not that she wouldn't outrank me anyway, but we are both retired colonels, there is some degree of irony, and also I think a degree of pride. I mean, when you think about it, this nation, I think, takes pride in its veterans, and the fact that Nichols is the nickname and the mascot is the Colonels is only a small part of it. Nichols is also a military-friendly school. It's very welcoming of veterans, and it's named after a wounded warrior, Colonel Nichols, General Nichols, former governor of Louisiana. Is somebody who, like me, spent 4 years at West Point and then served his country and then was wounded in the process. I was not, but he was wounded in the process and then came back to Louisiana and had a very distinguished career in politics and so forth. And we're very proud that this institution is named after him. And I think that in my sense, that sends a message that this institution is welcoming of veterans, wounded warriors, and feels that that's part of its mission.
Well, Colonel Murphy spent 21 years in military service. As he stated, he taught at West Point for 4 years, U.S. Military Academy. How did you meet your wife?
Well, sometimes I jokingly say we met in a very romantic place. We met in the Pentagon. I was working on, that was supposed to be a joke, but I was working on in the leader policy division of the Army staff, and my boss came in one day and said, "We have to put together a program. This is directive from the Department of Defense. We have to put together a comprehensive program for health promotion, wellness, and fitness." And he gave that to myself and another one of my colleagues, and we really didn't know where to begin, but he then introduced us to some people from the Surgeon General's office who did know a lot about that. And one of those people was Jean, my wife. So we started working on that project, and we've been working together on projects ever since. So she was like I said, an Army nurse, but she was also an intercollegiate and international level athlete and pursued that career.
Well, we'll not only have a fine academician and a seasoned leader at Nichols State, but also a physically fit president and his wife. The two colonels, I'm sure, will be quite impressive as they move across the campus, the beautiful campus in Thibodaux. You must have been impressed with some of the programs. Nichols is, like other schools in Louisiana, facing some budget issues, but how are things? How's the morale there?
I think the morale is great. I mean, obviously, you hit the nail on the head. There are budget issues, and it's not, as I've tried to express to many people, this is not unique to Thibodaux. This is not unique to Louisiana. This is a national trend where the entire economy is not doing well. I've served this country long enough to have a great deal of faith in her, and I know we're going to do better. But we're weathering a storm right now, and I think Louisiana is used to weathering storms. We're going to get through this. But I think the morale of the folks here is really good, considering all of that that's going on. We've got some very, very good programs that we're very proud of. Petroleum engineering is one of them. Geomatics program, the culinary program, maritime management, Master of Science in Nursing. I could go on and on, but we've got some very good programs that I think are really positioned for growth. I think they're unique. I think that there are some programs that you can't get other places in the country, or that Nichols is uniquely positioned to work with. And I've talked to a number of legislators and business leaders and so forth, and they are all full in on working with us in helping to develop those programs that will increase enrollment not only from the region but from outside the region as well, from around the country and from around the world.
I'm going to forward some emails. Glenn in Donaldsonville wants to know if you in any way felt your job was in jeopardy by applying for this position, the job you had at Air University.
Well, no, I didn't. And here's the reason why. I chatted at length with my president, and he fully supported my candidacy. He was my my number one reference. I think that's always important. I understand where that question is coming from, and I've heard, I guess, horror stories of folks that have tried to apply and not told their leaders, and then that's come back to bite them. But in my case, that was not the case. That, as I said before, I had the full support of going to the next level. And you know, that might be a military thing where you always want you hate to lose people, but you always want the best for them. And I think that in the case, my boss is Lieutenant General Dave Fadock, and he was very supportive of my candidacy.
Laura downtown asks your opinion about the government shutdown. What do you think as a military person?
Well, I think it's something that is hurting us. I know personally that it's caused people where I am right now to be furloughed for periods of time. And for example, I probably will be okay as a result of that. But I do have people that work with me that are single parents that have kids have special needs and so forth, and I know that some of those are right on the edge, and we've tried to do what we can do to assist them in any way we can. I think we need to move on, and I was a little bit encouraged by some of the talk that I've heard just this morning on some of the news that they may be working toward it, but it really is counterproductive, I think, in a lot of areas. We always have the argument about how big should government be and what services should government be in. I think at times like this, we realize that we have created a government that does many, many, many things. And when you stop that machine, it stops. There's a lot of unintended consequences that happen as a result.
Dr. Bruce Murphy, the president of Nichols State University, who takes office officially in mid-January, selected after Nichols conducted an open nationwide search for this position. Now, another question, what about the role of athletics on campus? Nichols has a sports program that is quite extensive. Will that continue?
Well, I sure hope so. I have been a fan of athletics. I mean, from the very beginning, my original intention was to be a football coach and a high school English teacher, and I have enjoyed as a fan and occasionally as a participant athletics at every level. I've been associated with and as a faculty member administrator at SEC schools, and I know that athletics play a big role. They do a lot for the athletes themselves. They attract students that you would not otherwise have. They perhaps, maybe most importantly, they put the name out there. I think maybe you watched Nichols play on the national scene a few weeks ago, and although we'll do better next time we play the number two team in the country, I think we acquitted ourselves well. It got the name out there. It got the brand out there. It got very positive remarks from the national broadcasters, not only about the team but about the coaches and all of that. You can't buy publicity like that, and I think that's another purpose of it. And then for the students at large who are not athletes, it gives them an opportunity. I've been trying to go to as many of the athletics events in my short visits here on campus as I can, and students come out to those games. They cheer on their their classmates. They cheer on their fellow students to do well. And so I think there's many, many good things that come from athletics. The question, of course, is affordability, and so you've got to balance that, and you've got to determine if you are doing that the right way, and so on. So that's a challenge, but I think you've got to do it. I'm a general supporter of.
We'll be back to wrap it up with Dr. Bruce Murphy and hear from Foster Campbell. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number outside the area. 877-217-5757. Inkster's show at WRKF.org online. And in a moment, we'll hear from Public Service Commissioner Foster Campbell. We are spending some time in our remaining moments with Dr. Bruce Murphy, the fifth president of Nicholls State University, just named to that position last month by the UL system. And Dr. Murphy is a man of accomplishment, a colonel, and a man who's been all over the country in academia and is now joining us in our remaining time from the president's office in the president's chair at Nicholls State University. It's quite a culture, isn't it? I don't know how much you've been able to get familiar with it, but it's somewhat like no other.
Well, it is. I think it's very enchanting. It's different. I do have to say that my parents were during World War II were stationed briefly in Lafayette, so I kind of heard stories of Louisiana growing up, and so it's not totally foreign. I'm doing my best to get with some of the pronunciation and some of the spellings and so forth. But I just find it very very charming, very unique. It's one of the things that I was just telling Gene the other day. I said, it's a unique part of the country. We've been, as you said, we've been all over the country, and it really does have a character all its own. It's a charm that I think we will grow to appreciate and love even more than we do right now.
Well, Dr. Murphy, we hope to talk with you again when you get situated a bit more. And thanks for sharing your story with us, and congratulations on the job. We're glad you're in Louisiana.
Well, thank you very much. It's been good talking to you.
Take care.
All right, bye.
President Murphy of Nicholls State University, Colonel Bruce Murphy. And now we're joined by Public Service Commissioner Foster Campbell. For more than a quarter century, he was a state senator, and now he is one of the ranking members of the Public Service Commissioner. Do you have the longest tenure now?
Yeah, I guess I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, the senior member. Isn't that something?
Yeah, and that's something.
Well, Foster Campbell is, of course, on the forefront of all issues regarding utilities, but he has become one of the two or three best known spokespeople for the Democratic Party, almost by default. And you're calling on your party to get involved in this dismissal of John Berry with the Flood Protection Authority in eastern New Orleans. What do you want the Democratic Party to do?
I want the Democratic Party to pass a resolution supporting that brave bunch of people down there in New Orleans that had the good sense. Not the audacity, but has the good sense to sue the oil companies, 100 of them, for the damage they've caused to our coast. I think these people ought to, I went to a committee hearing in the legislature about a month ago, and there was 24, 28 people represented from oil companies, two or three people trying to help. They gave these people pure hell. They asked them everything. Nobody would speak up for them. It was about 20 people on the committee, and man, they called them everything but a child of God. I mean, they were really rough on them and asked them why they had the audacity to do that. And I sat there 3 hours before I was able to speak. I guess they thought I would go home. I drove down there to speak, and I sat there 3 hours and heard 3 hours of grilling from Mr. Adley and the other members, and everybody tell them what a terrible thing they were doing, why they didn't check with the legislature, why they had the nerve or even think about this. The truth is, the reason they did it If you went to the legislature, it never would happen because they're the ones that's going to try to kill it. Bobby Jindal is doing everything he can to kill it. He's about to have a conniption fit. He had his guy, Mr. Graves, there for two hours. They let him speak an hour telling people how bad it was. The whole thing boils down to this. You got some people that are apolitical on this board that are all very competent, very highly professional people, engineers, head of engineers department, engineering department at various schools. This guy, John Berry, who probably knows as much about flooding as anybody, wrote that great book. This is a decent man who is not trying to put anybody on the spot, but he's learning about politics real quick. He had the nerve to ask these oil companies to pay for their damage, and they're just coming unglued, and they wouldn't renominate him the other day. I saw it was a 5-5 vote not to renominate this guy. Incredible. He's known all over the United States for being a highly regarded expert on flooding. After writing that book, people could think the highest of him that can be thought. A guy, we ought to be proud for him to be here in Louisiana. And here we are, 5-5, not to renominate him because he had the audacity to ask the oil and gas companies to pay for the damage they've caused. I think that makes the state look bad, and I understand this. I don't ever talk to Governor Jindal, but I understand that he's not going to renominate anybody that is for this lawsuit. Their idea, Mr. Jindal and the rest of the politicians, our congressional delegations, their idea is real simple. The government ought to pay for that. But the people, like I've said 100 times, the people in Illinois and Indiana and Kansas, Nebraska, Ohio, Kentucky, they didn't drill the wells in the Gulf of Mexico. So let me see. Our politicians want to make the United States taxpayers pay for the damage on the coast, and they want to turn the blind eye to the people that caused the damage. I mean, and the reason is the big oil companies they write big checks, and they're very influential. And they're scared of them. They don't want to buck the oil companies. They just want the rest of the people of the United States, people in Michigan, Minnesota, they want them to come pay all this to redo our coast. And by the way, we just don't want to ask the oil companies to do anything because, you know, those guys are our greatest friends, and they don't want to. They'll never do anything to hurt Louisiana. The truth is, oil companies, we need the oil companies, and I like the oil companies, but I want them to pay their fair share. Bobby Jindal was down there every night on CNN when that well blew out down there, the BP well disaster. He was jumping all over BP. But what he forgets to look at, or he's not looking at, and I said the same thing about Mr. Nungesser. He was down there raising hell about BP. Well, he's in ground zero. They're losing Plaquemine Parish. Where's Mr. Nungesser been? Where's Mr. Jindal been about coastal erosion? He knows who's caused the coastal erosion. They want to jump all over BP because it's good politics, but when it comes to asking those oil companies to rebuild that coast, pay some of it. I don't say they caused it all, but they've caused at least 50%. You couldn't find them with a flashlight.
Okay. 297-5633 is your number outside the area, 877-217-5757. This is the Southeast Louisiana Flood Protection Authority East filing suit against Big Oil, seeking damages for damage to the coast. And it wasn't only John Berry who was not reappointed. Another man, Tim Duty, also got the heave-ho, and we had Jim Nickel, former chair of the Louisiana Democratic Party, on this show a few weeks ago, and he said, look, this is just politics. Jindal's got the power. These people are in disagreement with him, and he had the option of not appointing them or reappointing them, and this is just the way it goes.
I think Mr. Nickel is, I think he's way, way too close to the oil companies. You know, he worked for Mr. Brough. And Mr. Brough was, and still is, working for the oil companies. And so for Mr. Nickel, and I like Jim, but for him to say that this is just politics is straight baloney. What this is people that are scared of the oil companies. And you might want to ask Mr. Nichols, do you represent any of them? You're a lobbyist, and I would probably think he pretty close to some of them. I don't know that for sure. But anybody to say that is that's a tap dancing answer.
Well, have the oil companies done anything good for the state Foster County?
Absolutely they do things good for the state. But has the state done anything good for the oil companies? Absolutely. We started Texaco. Yeah, they've done a lot of things. We've had a lot of people working here. But who do you think is going to get the jobs? They're making billions, and we want them to make money. But we don't just give them the coast to destruct the whole coast. We're losing the coast. Katrina was much worse. We don't have the barrier islands like we used to have. What do? We just say, well, y'all just go ahead and tear up the coast. And when the last barrel of oil is gone, you're gone. And then we have no coastline. And by the way, we probably should have made y'all pay for a little of that. Let me tell you what's going on up here in North Louisiana. Now, I've been sort of blessed. I'm right in the middle of the Haynesville Shale.
Right.
But on my farm, which has some Haynesville Shale production, one well's not 300 yards from my house. It's all in white rock. It looks like a golf course. They keep it clean. They shut the gates where cattle can't get out. They're the most courteous people in the world. When they drill the wells, they say, hey, Mr. Campbell, let us know if anything's bothering you, this, that, and the other. They know how to do it right. They know how to do it right. You come up here to North Louisiana, look at all these Haynesville well sites. They're clean, and they take care of them. But through the years, we have not made them do that in South Louisiana and out on our coast. So what do? Just say, well, that's politics. He has a right to do that. Baloney. When you're governor, you're supposed to represent the people of Louisiana, the state of Louisiana, and turning your back on coastal erosion that is the worst in the United States of America, where you lose, as they say, this is a often used statistic, you're losing a football field every hour. And just to say it's politics, yeah, it's politics. That's what's wrong with the whole damn thing. It's just politics, and it's not leaders taking care of the people's interests. They're worried about the special interests.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Now, you have appealed to the Democratic Party to get involved, and I understand understand that you have received a response. In fact, I have the letter. What's your take on the response from Chairperson Peterson?
Well, I'm glad that she's going to let me speak. I'm reading it says I need to go to a resolution committee. I hope that committee is will pass it on. And I want to speak to the central committee as a whole. And anyway, I'm going to do what she asked me to do in this letter. I saw her Saturday night over Jim Cox's benefit in Lake Charles, and I told her, I said, Karen, this is something that we have to be for. We've lost the majority in the House and the Senate. We could gain a lot of respect from the people of the state of Louisiana if they knew that we're out there where we ought to be. We're taking on the rich and powerful and the people that have all the influence, and we're representing the people that want to see our coast rebuilt. We want to see we don't want all these towns flooded. We're environmentally conscious. That's what the Democratic Party's about. And for us to sit back and let all the Republicans over there all against it, well, Jindal and all the congressmen, no, they're not going to say anything. Where's the difference?
Okay.
We need to make a difference, and we have a different party. I believe the Democrats are different than the Republicans. I think the Democrats represent the people's interest and stand up for people and rather than the special interest. And I think, Bobby Jindal, you – we'll remember now, Jim, you know very well, this is his second go-round at representing the big boys. Richard Iu, who was a attorney general, sued the tobacco companies. Bobby Jindal wrote a letter to Richard Iu. He was working for Mike Foster. I know Mike Foster told him to do it, but he did it. By the way, Bobby Jindal at that time was head of the health and hospitals in Louisiana, which he knew very well what was going on in the hospitals, or he should have known. How many people with cancer of the lung, emphysema, heart problems was caused by smoking? Bobby Jindal, Mike Foster, oh, no, don't sue the tobacco companies. Nobody makes people smoke. Thank God Richard Iube stood up. We sued them. And then they started to say, well, look at the trial lawyers are getting the money. I don't care who gets the damn money, the trial lawyers. Let them get the money. We got $4 billion. $4 billion. And I was able to get $1 billion for the Louisiana Educational Excellence Fund, and Mr. Jindal comes in and wants to raid it. I mean, he didn't mind spending the money, but he didn't want to sue the tobacco companies. Now, here comes up clear as day damage to our coast. And guess what? Mr. Jindal's going to surprise everybody. and not want to sue the oil companies. Isn't that amazing?
297-5633. We're going to go to the phones in just a moment with Foster Campbell, Public Service Commissioner. He's been there 11 years. He'll be running for re-election next year. And that brings a question from Tracy at the Capitol, who says, asks, are you concerned, Foster Campbell, that the oil industry is going to come after you next year?
Well, you know, I'm old and gray-headed. And I have one eye. And I hadn't been worried about them for 20 years, and I'm not worried about them now. You know, it's no there's no wrong way to do the right thing. This is the right thing, and there's just no wrong way to do the right thing. And our politicians ought to do the right thing. Is it amazing that we're stuck in the mud with Mississippi, with all the great resources in this state, and we're compared to Mississippi? It's incredible.
All right, hold tight. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on with Foster Campbell. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim and Mr. Campbell. Thank you so much for being loud and outrageous and passionate, which I really hate that word, but that describes what you're doing. I'd also just to stand up calmly and sensibly to the onslaught that had brought on by people like the Koch brothers, the big oil and big mining interests that just basically out and out lie about the situation that we're finding ourselves in. You have your climate change deniers. You have people like Senator Vitter standing up and screaming that, we're going to threaten to lose all these great jobs if we do anything that upsets big oil. Excuse me, the oil's there, and they're going to come after it as long as it is there, and we should be more fair and also have a national energy policy.
All right. Foster, would you respond to Phil?
I think he's right on target. David Vitter, you could make him run through a wall if you ask him to buck these big oil companies. He'd run through the wall, scare him to death. He's not going to buck them. No other Republican congressman's going to buck them. They're going to say, they bring all these great jobs. Sure, they bring the jobs in. We're appreciative of the jobs. But do you give them the whole state for the jobs they bring in? They had that big rally over there in Lafayette when they got up about their oil wells and, wait a minute, we can't, you're going to stop the drilling. You're not going to stop drilling in the Gulf of Mexico when some of those wells make thousands of barrels of oil a day. You're not going to do that. They're drilling in northwest Louisiana up here because we got a great gas field called the Haynesville Shale. I want them to drill. They bring jobs here. They've helped a lot of people. But I'm not willing to let them tear up the whole state. And then they're going to blackmail us and we'll think about the jobs. Who do you think is going to do the jobs? They got to have people to do them.
Do you think they have the money to clean it up?
Absolutely. You know what they don't want? Here's what they don't want. They don't want to go to federal court and get a judge that is not politically controlled. They go to federal court with a good lawyer. They got a problem. They're going to have a settlement, and it's going to be lots of money. So the thing they want to do, Mr. Jindal and the rest of the guys, Mr. Chris John and all those guys over at Mid-Continent, they want to kill that in the legislature. And if this thing does not get to the courthouse before the legislature convenes, you can guarantee yourself that they will kill this in the name of saving jobs. But it's about getting reelected, and they're worried to death about the oil company, and the big politicians are worried to death about the big checks they write. Now, it's incredible that our state has this scourge of losing our whole coast, and we don't have politicians with the backbone to get up. Now, here's one thing I'd like to ask all these opponents of this.
All right. We'll get that when we return with Foster Campbell. 297-5633. We'll also talk about the government shutdown when we return in 90 seconds. This is Jim Engster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Foster Campbell with us, 297-5633. Your number outside the area, it's 877-217-5757. We're talking for a few more minutes about John Barry and Tim Duty. Barry, the well-known journalist, author of Rising Tide and The Great Influenza, was on this board in eastern New Orleans, the Southeast Louisiana Flood Protection Authority East, and the board in its wisdom decided to sue the oil and gas industry, saying that the industry should be responsible for some damage to the Louisiana coast. And Governor Jindal and others opposed the lawsuit. And the governor, as you can imagine, chose not to reappoint Mr. Barry and Mr. Duty. And Foster Campbell has come to the rescue, kind of, and he was on a roll when we went to the break. You said you had one word for the opponents. What's the word?
Let me ask you, is there anybody listening out there? I'd oppose this to your whole listening audience or anybody who works at your studio. If you had a house and you had a nice fence in your backyard and somebody ran through your fence, would you ask them to fix it, or do you say, well, that's okay, don't worry about it, it's just good to see you in Louisiana? You know, you might produce a job. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. I'm in the cattle business up here, and I have a farm here in Bossier Parish. And if water from my neighbor is running through my farm and eroding my whole farm, how long do you think it's going to be before I call my neighbor and say, Mr. So-and-so, you're going to have to do something with this water. You're eroding my farm. Now, if he doesn't do anything, I'm going to get a lawyer, and we're going to go to court. That's logical. That makes good sense.
John in Lafayette. John, good morning. You're on with Foster Campbell. Hi, John.
Yes, good morning, you all. Mr. Campbell, General Honore is on your side, and I think you have a great ally there. And if you had some full-page ads in the Advocate, you probably know by General Honore saying that these lawsuits should go forward. My question is this. The ads say that the oil companies agreed at the time they got the permits to put the land, the marsh, back like it was when the operations, all operations are completed. My question is this. Why don't you, in one of the ads, show that paragraph where they agreed to do this? And it's going to make it much more difficult for the politicians and the legislature to kill the lawsuit if in plain sight the people of the state can see where they had agreed, the oil companies did, to do the right thing.
Well, I think it's an excellent idea. I didn't see the leases, but I do know up here. I do know up here in the Haynesville Shell, because they did on our place. They tell you that they'll put it back, and you know, and if the well goes bad, they'll take it out and put it back like it was. So you're exactly right. I hadn't read those leases, and a lot of them are. Wait, a long time ago, I don't know if they had it in there, but in the new leases, they agree to put the land back like it was, and that's pretty clear. If you got to put it back like it was, you got a big job ahead of you, and they ought to have to do it. Here's what I've been saying for years. I've said this on this show, and I want to tell Jim Inkster and your listening audience, you've been fair, and you've let people speak out on different subjects that are controversial, and I appreciate it. I've been saying for years that we just never have had a politician, with the exception of Dave Treen, a Republican, who tried to pass the Quail Tax. We've never had a politician that ever asked these oil companies to come to Baton Rouge and have a meeting and ask them to pay for some of their damage. Now, the oil companies have an organization called Save the Coast. Well, they want the federal government. That's an oil company, and you got a guy down in New Orleans. I forgot his name. But anyway, he's running around, Save the Coast, Save the Coast. That's all sponsored by the oil companies. But his whole mission is to save the coast by the United States taxpayers. He doesn't want the people that are sponsoring him to pay for any of it. I asked him in Shreveport, what do you think about asking some of those people that damaged the coast to pay for it? Oh, then he got all upset and said, well, you just don't get the picture. Well, I got the picture. I know who's sponsoring him. It's the big oil companies. And the big oil companies want out of the liability, and they want the United States government to pay for it, and so do our politicians.
Chuck on Airline Highway. Chuck, you're on with Foster Campbell. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, I am listening. If somebody ran through my backyard fence, absolutely I'd want them to pay for it. I'm going to tell you that I sued an unnamed oil company for removal of underground storage tanks, and my claim was denied because the former landowner was not included in the lawsuit. But my purchase agreement said that I had all rights, actions, and warranties of the original owner, but it did not fly in federal court.
Foster?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about your it should have, but I don't know all the details of the lawsuit. Mm. But I can tell you this, that you're not going to lose Exxon. You're not going to lose Citgo, by the way, that's owned by Venezuela. Mr. Chavez is dead now. But anyway, you're not going to lose these oil refineries. You know, for a long time they said, if Foster Campbell doesn't shut up, we're going to lose a lot of jobs. Well, let me tell you how many we've lost. I've been talking about this for about 20 years, and I've done my best not to shut up any time I speak. I do my best to deliver this message. Marathon in South Louisiana, they're so scared that they doubled the refinery, spent $3 billion to double their refinery process. Do you think they're scared about leaving Louisiana by doubling their processing plant? Absolutely not. All we need is some politicians in Louisiana to stand up and represent the people and quit tap dancing with these oil companies. And, again, I want to praise that levee board down there that had the courage to do the right thing. And what's happened, all the other levee boards now are coming out against them. The fellow that's the head of the Levee Board Association in Louisiana, he's all against it, but he works for Shell Oil Company. Okay. I mean, it is the damnedest thing you've ever seen.
We're going to get to the government shutdown, but Taylor has an interesting suggestion that the state sell the naming rights to the Capitol to one of the big oil and gas
companies. Yeah. a long time ago in this meeting, I drew a Texaco flag, and I put it on top of the Capitol. And you should. I said, hey, they own it. Why not? Just put the Texaco flag up there, right there by the state of Louisiana, and say, hey, boys, you got it. You're looking at our capital. Texaco's got us.
Well, we've got the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, we could have the whatever
we
you want
bid
to call
it, off.
It.
Maybe it could be the Texaco or the Exxon or maybe even the Citgo that Mr. Chavez could buy it. He's got plenty of money.
Well, he's gone now.
Yeah, well, his buddies, whoever they are.
Okay. Well, Governor Jindal, who, of course, is of a different political persuasion than is Foster Campbell.
Boy, is he.
Has been making the national rounds, and he was on Fox and CNN, and here's one of the appearances where he's blaming the President of the United States for the chaos at the Capitol right now. JC?
Oh, yeah. Look, remember the last time we had a big domestic policy change, one of the last times, under President Clinton, we had welfare reform. We had a Republican Congress. The president vetoed it twice. He didn't like it, but he found common ground. This president's not leading. It's his way or the highway.
All right. His way or the highway. Who's
he ought to be ashamed of himself. Does he ever look in the mirror, his way or the highway? He's the number one guy in the world. If you don't agree with him, you kick him off the boards. I mean, you know, he handles all the LSU. You don't agree with him. Anybody on the LSU Board of Supervisors, they got to go. Just like this deal, they got to go. Here's Bobby Jindal. I said last time, he is not going to be president. And he's doing his best now to go around and say everything he can say to say, hey, I'm still in the race. Don't forget me. He's not going to be president. He's not going to be vice president. And everything he's doing is trying to cheerlead for the Republican Party. The truth is, if I was Obama, I wouldn't get rid of Obamacare either. The system works like this. They had 40 chances to kill it in the House. They didn't kill it. It went to the Supreme Court. They upheld it. Now, all they want to do is tell the fellow, look, let's put off Obamacare. And if you don't want to put it off for a year, by the way, we've never been for it. We've never been for you. We're never going to be for it. If you don't put it off, we can't communicate. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever heard. You know the truth about Obamacare? Lyndon Johnson came up with Medicare, and everybody was cussing Lyndon Johnson. Oh, Lord, it was a find me somebody 65 years old or 66 years old or whatever the age is that's not on Medicare. I don't care how wealthy he is. The wealthiest person in Louisiana is on Medicare if he's 65 years old because it's a good program. What they're really worried about here, Obamacare has a lot of problems, but what they're really worried about here is that down the road it's going to become very popular. After they work out a lot of stuff, and they know that, and so the best thing they can do is get rid of it right now before it becomes popular, and it makes them look like they were obstructionists, just like they were against Social Security. They were against the GI Bill of Rights when people came home from the war. They were against Medicare and when 65 was Lyndon Johnson. It's always some way you can't help people, and it's always a reason not to do it. The guy passed it, Congress passed it. It went before the Supreme Court. They said it was all right to do it. Leave it alone. And if you want somebody to work with Mr. Jindal, Mr. Jindal wants to work, why don't he say something good about the president? Is there anything he could ever say good about him? He killed Mr. Jindal. The president gave us $80 million for high-speed internet in the state of Louisiana. 200-and-something cities and states got it. 200 people got grants. What did Mr. Jindal do? He killed our $80 million, and we need high-speed internet more than anybody because he doesn't want to go along with anything the president says.
All right. Well, your congressman, John Fleming, says he is standing firm in his opposition to Obamacare and behind the push to defund or delay it. Congressman Fleming calls the health care law the most dangerous piece of legislation ever passed in Congress.
I expect that from him. I had never seen anything he's for either. My son's a neurosurgeon, and I talked to him last night. He just got out of school. He's went to LSU, and now he's a neurosurgeon in Maryland. And I asked him about it. I said, Peter, his name is Peter Campbell. I said, Peter, what do you think about Obamacare? He said, well, Dad, I'll tell you. He said, there's going to be a lot of people that get insurance that have never been able to get it. No pre-existing illnesses will be recognized. There's more good than bad. There's more good than bad. And he said that there's certainly some bad points in it, but it's not the worst thing at all. It's going to be some good things about it. A lot of people are going to be insured. Now, Mr. Fleming also said that people that made that something like that, he didn't make $600,000 a year or something. He made that wasn't any big deal. Six people making $600,000 or $700,000, that's what it takes to live. So if you think it takes you $600,000 to live, you might want to think along with Mr. Fleming. But if you make less than $600,000, you might want to think about getting insurance, or if you had a child that had cancer and you couldn't get insurance or you couldn't afford it, you might want to think about the average guy on the street. I don't think Mr. Fleming represents the average guy on the street. He represents the elite.
Well, yesterday on this show, Buddy Romer, who once represented that district in Congress, he said he thought this was all just talk right now, and that ultimately there would be some sort of compromise, that they would not allow the government, they being Congress and the president, wouldn't allow the government to go into default. But you see a headline today in the New York Times, first front page, it says, many in GOP offer theory default wouldn't be that bad.
Incredible, isn't it? Shut down the government because they're not getting their way. And it would be terrible. Stock market prices, I'm lucky enough to have a little stock. A lot of people have life savings in stock, and now they can't get anything in the bank, 0.5%, so they're invested in mutual funds, et cetera. Why do you want to gamble with that, just being hard-headed to have your way? I think there's a lot of Republicans who would like to see this go on and get it done. It's just a few of those folks that, like Jindal says, for him to say that, what a hypocrite, his way or the highway, nobody could be more than Bobby Jindal on that, but I don't want to see it shut down. I think it would be bad. I would like to see them, both sides, get together and let's get over this and let's go on about getting our economy. It's on the rebound. Car dealerships, I read in the Wall Street Journal, are doing better than they've ever done. Things are happening good, I think. But for us just to have a fight, is crazy. And for Republicans to say, all we want you to do is throw away this Obamacare. That is the craziest thing I've ever heard. If a guy's signature series, by the way, this went all the way back to Harry Truman. If we've been trying to do this for years and you want someone who finally passed it over all your objections and you want him to give that up, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. I tell him, hey, go jump in the Potomac River and have a good swim. There's no way I'd do that. Now, let's get down to something we can talk about. And he better stick to his guns because a lot of people are depending on him. A lot of people who don't have insurance or sick people, they're depending on him, and he needs to keep his neck bowed and come up with some kind of solution up there that we can go on without any shutdown. We don't need a shutdown. And I hope they got enough sense to do that rather than listen to a few extremists in the Republican Party over there on the far right. It's hard to find out what those guys are for. It's really hard to find out what they're for.
Well, why do you think this state has gone so solidly to the Republicans? The representatives are an indication, Foster Campbell, most people are not in accord with what you're saying today.
Well, I think the Democratic Party's got to make a comeback, and I think one good way, that's why I brought this up, one good way is to show the people that we represent you. We don't represent the special interest. And we've lost that, and we need to be strong on issues like this. I told Ms. Peterson, this is a great litmus test. It draws a line in the dirt. One side represents the oil companies. The other side represents the people that have lost their homes, environmentalists, fishermen, all the people down there depend on our coast. This is a great litmus test to show them that we're on their side and we're not in the back pocket of the rich and powerful. This is a way to get some people coming back to the Democratic Party. I like Democratic parties, a lot of the things I don't like, but what I really dislike about the Democratic Party is so long some of our top politicians have been tap dancing and they're in the pocket of the powerful rather than representing the people.
Well, tomorrow we'll hear from former Congressman Charlie Melancon on this show. He was, of course, a Democratic congressman.
Yep.
And then ran for the U.S. Senate and got whipped handily by David Vitter.
Right.
So I'm eager to hear what Congressman Melancon has to say, Foster.
Yeah, it would be interesting. He's down there in the on the coast, and hopefully Charlie will say that he supports his lawsuit. And, you know, because he saw perfectly the big boys wasn't for him, although he probably voted with them a good bit, but when he ran against David Vitter, he saw real quick what happened. They all went to him.
Thank you, Foster Campbell. Always a pleasure. And
pleasure.
We'll talk soon. And we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, for J.C. Kane, I'm Jim Engster. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.